Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show on a Monday morning. And if you are just joining us, welcome to the program. We're lifting the lid on hour two here of episode 145. Coming to you out of the bunker in Western Canada. Canada's only mid-morning sports show is right here. Some might say the best damn sports show going. And although the thermometer is plunging a little bit, we could bake cookies in this studio.
Hey.
Woo. Is that hot?
Meat falling off the bone in here.
I could grow rice in my armpits. Ooh. But that's okay. Oh. I think I'd rather be too hot this time of year than too cold. But it is hot in here.
I think they saw your yoga pants and were like, Rod must be wanting hot yoga today, so we'll crank it up.
I might bust into some yoga later
Namaste.
On today.
You do love it.
Namaste. Namaste in bed. I do love what? The heat? The yoga? What? I love it all. The yoga. I'm a happy guy overall.
Hey, can I just add one thing about last hour where Abu was talking about, you know, you got to chase your dreams. When you got that chance, if you get a chance, watch that Lindsey Vonn documentary. Lindsey Vonn's final season or last season. Talk about a person putting themselves through absolute hell to continue to chase their dreams. It's really good.
Of being an Olympics downhill skier.
She was trying to get the most victories ever, but her body was just... It's in shambles, basically.
Yeah, you got to know when
but it was
it's
really
over.
Looks okay to me.
Well, she kept trying to quit. It was funny. Felt very much like football. She kept saying, like, I can't do this. And her whole team around her was like, well, we did this last time and we could, you know, duct tape you together, basically, to roll her out there. And I just felt very footballish where it's like, well, can't we just put a needle in her somewhere and throw her back out there?
That's what I
felt. And she's like, I've done that. I'm done.
That's what I was going to say. You know when it's over and then play one more year. And if there's only... something that I regret about my career is like I never really got that year. Or maybe I did and I didn't know it.
The year that what?
The where they tape you back together and they kick you out there, or you know you miss more games than you play, you know, or like they're like, oh, he's way too old to be doing. I just kind of, you know, they say about going out on top.
You left when the getting was good.
What a bunch of losers going out on top.
John Elway.
Although you want to go kicking and screaming. You want to go into the GM's office with a mask on saying, give me my check. I know I didn't deserve it, but give me it.
Peyton Manning, I mean, you could say, well, he went out on top winning a Super Bowl. He was literally duct taped together. Yeah. You know,
his neck had been fused.
Ten-year
CFL veteran Mike Abou-Meshrick with us in the bunker. Veteran sportscaster Derek Myers, as I say hello to all our new viewers. And we do have a lot of new viewers. We had our technical producer here earlier, Ryan. I don't know where he went, by the way. He was with the beard and the flannel. He can often be found in flannel.
Probably went to find somewhere cool.
I know. Oh, he was dying under these lights,
beard
too.
And the flannel. Yeah.
But here's the thing about Edmonton, where I was on the weekend, and I met these guys in the luxury suite that we were watching the Oilers game. And thank you, CTV Edmonton and TSN Radio, for inviting us in there. They respect the CFL in Edmonton. Oh, there's a shot.
Drew.
Thank you for putting that up.
Hey, Drew.
They'll let anybody in
great
here.
Great lighting.
Wasn't it great lighting?
Does your wife know you had? Oh, wait.
She's there.
Wow.
I know. Who's that young hottie you're with?
She does
it's
not
my wife.
Age. She does not age.
She doesn't age. It's the Greek jeans.
Her eyesight must be gone.
I know. And sense of touch. So, anyways, we go into Roger's place, and we're in the suite, and you saw that there with my friend Drew Remenda. And what I went in there just to say hi. And Drew's like, how's it going, man? You look great. He's got all the compliments, Drew Remenda. And he's like, well, sit down. Come on. Bring your wife in here. Took a picture. Had a very brief visit. And then we went to the suite. And the thing was, I'm sitting with these guys in the suite watching the Oilers game. And I wasn't introduced to them. But they said, I don't know, somehow they found out who I was. And they said, we Googled you. You're the guy that broke the Ken Holland story. And you've got the number one Facebook Live show in Canada. We're going to tune in on Monday. And you were in the CFL for 20 years with the Rough Riders. In Edmonton, the CFL means something.
City of
Champions.
Yes, it
does. Yep.
That is a good CFL town.
Yeah.
As, you know, frankly, you go to Abu's hometown. Sorry to say, Abu. But I'm out with friends from Sportsnet there, and you say you work in the CFL, and they laugh at you. They're like, that league still exists?
I mean,
you feel like I made over 100 grand.
Yeah, I made more than you.
I made over 100 grand.
Make more than you. Yeah. It just, they make you feel that big, which they shouldn't. That's my fault.
No, me too. Yeah,
but in Edmonton,
like you have to justify, like, yeah, I make more money than you wearing tights and running around for 4 months.
I
know. But you're going to put me down?
But just, you never have and never will hear me say anything bad about Edmonton, because we've always been treated first class up there. And I enjoyed the time.
All the cities in Rod's Canada, right? From Alberta to Manitoba. All those folks Canada. Get it. Those folks.
And Edmonton,
folks.
You people.
You go to
Edmonton is always neck and neck. Edmonton's always neck and neck with the Riders. And for a long time,
for what?
Led the league attendance.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, so, yeah, they absolutely do there. And make all the arguments, well, bigger city, bigger stadium, all this. But whatever. They
all
get
the
people
more reason.
To come,
they have more opportunities. Well,
they
options.
Get people to come out. And for
you have
years.
To go to the Riders if you're around here. You don't have to go watch Eskimos.
Yeah.
There is a huge opportunity here, by the way. And here's how we're going to swing this around back to the football talk. Our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question today is, will Chris Jones resurface in the CFL? This is a three-way heat, and you've got about 24 hours to vote on it. But can you put up the Facebook number, make it big for us old men?
Oh, there you go.
38.9% of viewers on Facebook say they're not sure if Chris Jones comes back to the CFL. 33% say no, and 27.8% say yes, he'll be back to the CFL. So nobody really knows, and that spawned our discussion last hour, how we finished hour one on chasing your dreams. Chris Jones chasing his dream by going to the NFL. We've been told that he's got a year left in his contract with the Browns, even though his boss, Freddie Kitchens, was fired yesterday. I think it's safe to say that Chris Jones' time in Cleveland is done, even though it's not officially done. And we don't think he's going to sit around on his butt for a year being paid out. He'll be coaching somewhere. The question is, where will it be? So that'll continue here in hour two. And by the way, Edmonton Eskimos receiver Ricky Collins Jr. will be joining us a little later on. Good guy. I really like Ricky. I'm looking forward to that chat. But you talked about the Riders and the Eskimos being neck and neck for attendance and being the flagship franchise in the CFL. It's been that way since, frankly, the 70s between the two. But we had a talk here this summer about what would it take for Winnipeg to maybe become the flagship franchise of the CFL.
Thanks
you remember,
for bringing them up. Because
remember
they,
what we
they
said?
Got potential. There's so
winning.
Much potential.
We said winning.
You know what?
Would be a great place to start.
Think of what the helmet looks like. It's a W, right?
It stands for Winnipeg. Yes.
What if you turn that upside down and it was an M, and one game, and just all you got to do.
They're not going
to
do that.
You don't need to call it nothing. Just
Manitoba, you mean?
Just call them the Manitoba Bombers for one game. And now you bring people drive 6 hours.
A novelty game.
Wherever Duck Lake is, they can come in from there, or Moose Mountain
somewhere.
Boulevard, or I don't know, all these obscure places that, hi, Rod, I love your show. I drive in 24 hours from, you can't drive 24 hours if you're in this, but people drive because it's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, not the Regina Rough Riders. That's why there'll never be a Saskatoon CFL team, is because this is ours. Is the whole rectangle, not just the southern part or the northern part.
Fair enough, but we're talking about the Edmonton Eskimos were the flagship franchise of the CFL for close to 30 years, and it was Edmonton. So I'm not saying you're wrong.
What's that, in 700,000, a million?
Yeah, close,
million?
Say a million.
But what it's
a pool.
600?
It's the pool of population.
Yeah, how did it happen?
It up, not me.
They won.
By winning.
They won.
Yes.
Five great cups in a row.
Yes, and being inclusive. This is Winnipeg's team. Go to Brandon. They're Rider fans.
I know.
That's interesting. That's,
see, but that's
because
the
they
Bombers.
Don't live in Winnipeg. If they lived in, if they flipped, man, it's just. I've been saying
Portage?
This. I've been saying this for about 25 years. Make it the Manitoba Bombers for one game. Next year it'll be two games, and then four games.
It's interesting.
And
it's a celebrate, hell of an idea.
And celebrate Brandon. Bring in Brandon. We're the Manitoba, and you bring 20 buses from Brandon.
I thought you were just a numbers nerd, not a marketing genius.
See, that's the thing. I keep people thinking that I'm that crazy lunatic that.
You do a very good job of that.
Yeah.
I
thought they permanently should change their name to the Manitoba Blue Bombers, and I thought you were off your rocker. I thought you'd gone mad.
No,
but to do it for one
money.
Game,
it costs too much money.
Is a hell of an idea. What color would the jerseys be?
Same
brown ones. And gold.
All you got to do is take that decal off the helmet,
turn it upside down. No, we got that.
And instead of putting another one on, put it upside down. Okay, hang on. Think of it.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
But they are close now. They might have already set a record for Grey Cup merchandise, the Blue Bombers.
They're going to leap off. This is the leaping off point. And quite honestly, winning, yes. But like the Chris Streveler thing, like there was the personality to enjoy, to attach yourself to if you're a fan. Like it wasn't just the winning, but there's some personalities there. The Andrew Harris, the local boy who was done wrong by the league. Like they really have something. And if they're going to leap off to start to become that flagship, and you're right, there's a ton of potential there. This is a great springboard towards that for the 2020s, for the next decade.
Yeah, sadly, my marketing plan for the CFL is the same across the... It's what worked for me. Give the free tickets to the kids that can't afford it or don't want to afford it or don't really know about football. They'll just become your
Edmonton's
fans.
Doing a bit
and they'll
of that.
They'll pay your bills. Give them 2-3 free tickets. See, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You give them a ticket, and you're going to get about $1,000 a year out of these people for the rest of their life. Tickets and merchandise and hats and all that other stuff.
I will
for
say,
one free ticket.
The other thing, and I think Rod will attest to this, being a young guy growing up in this province, the Riders back in the day did such a great job getting out to all the communities with their players. I still, to this day, Richie Hall is one of my favorite people in the CFL for a number of reasons, but the number one reason is Richie Hall came to my school. Yep. And I met Richie Hall. In Mydale, you didn't get a professional athlete or somebody that was on TV. No, that didn't happen. Richie Hall came out there, and we met him. And to this day, anytime I see Richie, I'm stopping and talking because I have that much attachment to that guy, and it attached you to the team.
I've done more appearances as a Rider in Brandon. And when I'm talking about you need to do is send Streveler to Brandon with
Hell
his
yeah.
fur coat on and his glasses with a bunch of tickets
to a Week
this
Kings game or even whatever.
Handing out tickets to all the kids. The kids aren't going
to
drive.
Hell, send them to Mooseman.
They're not going to drive 4 hours into Regina. They're going to drive two hours
to
the Manitoba Bomber game. Because they're celebrating Brandon 100%. Manitoba on.
But that's, and just, we do have to August break 8th. Here, but that's how this brand of the Rough Riders was built, going out to the people.
Yeah.
And
I'll never forget that.
It's not that way anymore, but that's how it was built. And Tom Halleck is the press box announcer at IG Field in Winnipeg. He writes in, he says, Manitoba Blue Bombers ain't going to happen even for one game. That's Tom's opinion.
Yeah, that's
obviously you're friends with Wade Miller. You're good friends with Wade Miller. Have you ever suggested it to Wade Miller,
no,
by the way?
But it's attitudes like that that are going to make it not happen, right?
Very Winnipegish, Tom.
Very
Winnipegish.
And that's good. That's good for the Rider fans. You know, it creates an environment for us to make a living on over here. Stay that way. We'll bring how many people in Brandon?
40,000.
Oh, okay. Well, let's call it 100,000. We'll bring them here. Make them,
but this is what I noticed it all the time with all the travels that I do, but I really noticed it in August when I went up to Emma Lake, Christopher Lake, Candle Lake, north of PA. It just means so much to them to come visit them. It's not a huge concession to get off your ass and go out
Zenon Park
to the people.
Zenon Park's a perfect example.
That too,
amazing.
All these towns.
Yeah.
Paradise Hill, Estevan, Swift Current area.
Well, Mooseman, remember?
Get out and do it.
You got the Grey Cup. Even if you don't care, people are going to come and see the Grey Cup, and you can. There's an opportunity to. Well, I guess it's not going to happen because Tom said it's not. But
but you're
might
right.
As well,
you know,
not talk about it.
Is that not very Winnipeg-ish?
They used to tour the Cup around too, even when they didn't win it, didn't they? I remember something upstairs at the Mydale Civic Center. It was
the Riders.
Yeah, Shepherd was there. I was little, and I thought they maybe had the Cup.
It was
there
a caravan.
Too. Yeah.
Well, listen, when you were little, the Riders never won the Grey Cup,
no,
so
but
you
I
know that they had it, and they were just
they
traveling
brought it
around.
Yeah,
it means so much
it.
To go out and visit to the people.
I remember Shepherd
is all, and we know it, and we enjoy doing it. Ricky Collins Jr. coming up on the program today. By the way, your comments and questions are always welcome on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Got this from Prairie Mobile. The Boxing Week sale is on now. $0 smartphones any day, every day. And buy two accessories, get one free. That until New Year's Eve. So until office close tomorrow, Tuesday. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 145, coming to you from the Bunker, Canada's only mid-morning sports talk shows, right here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get savings up to $15,000 or finance rates as low as 0% up to 84 months on select new inventory. Plus, every single one of our new 2019 models has had its price heavily discounted. Celebrate the most wonderful time of year with Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Monday morning coming at you down here on the program, episode 145. Happy holidays if you're not working. Lucky you. Tomorrow is our special year-end countdown show. Top 10 moments of the year on the Rod Peterson Show. What do you think number one is, guys?
Top moments? You know me.
The time we went streaking?
By the quad, by the gymnasium?
That wasn't real.
First show. Yeah. The first show.
There was no camera there.
Just the launch.
The launch? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tune in tomorrow to find out our countdown special, New Year's Eve. Sports update on this Monday morning. Joel Hofer won his first ever international start at any level, and Canada beat Germany 4-1 at the World Juniors today. Nolan Foote, Liam Foudy, and Ty Dellandrea each had a goal and an assist, while Kaelin Addison also scored for the Canadians, who were coming off an embarrassing 6-0 loss to Russia on Saturday. Yannick Valenti broke Hofer's shutout bid with 67 seconds to go in regulation on a 5-on-3 power play. Canada now sits with 2 wins and a loss through 3 games and can guarantee top spot in Group B by beating host Czech Republic on New Year's Eve in the round-robin finale for both teams. The medal round starts Thursday. Tyler Myers scored twice and added an assist as the Vancouver Canucks routed the Calgary Flames 5-2 last night. The Canucks' 5th win in a row moves them past Calgary and Arizona into second place in the Pacific Division. Jonathan Huberdeau had back-to-back goals 30 seconds apart and added 2 assists as the Florida Panthers beat the Montreal Canadiens 6-5. Jaden Schwartz scored twice, and Jordan Binnington made 25 saves to help the Blues beat the Jets 4-1 for their season-best 8-straight win. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. We were there yesterday, had the Wendell Burger. See at Wendell's. You know how when you just bite into a burger and you know it's a winner? That was the Wendell Burger, which has onion rings on it and very thick bacon slices. Almost back bacon-like.
Damn.
An amazing burger at Wendell Clark's. See at Wendell's. What are you pointing at, Abu?
Colin saying, change the Blue Bomber to Manitoba. Maybe we in Ottawa should change the city name to Gatineau Red Blacks for a game or two. Colin, you might not be old enough to remember the Renegades. And when the Renegades came back, none of the advertising was in French.
You ignored Gatineau.
5 minutes from the stadium is the border, is Quebec. where they very, very French population. They did no
football.
Marketing. The reason why you don't remember the Renegades is because they did no marketing to the Gatineau
in
side.
In Quebec.
Yeah. So, yes, thank you for proving my point. As so many people that I want to poo-poo on everything, that's just going to poo-poo. Very Saskatchewanish. By the way.
That's nice. Oh, and Tom, not letting this die in Winnipeg, Tom Halleck writes, and he says, the Bombers have a damn good rural fan base. Then he puts in brackets, in spite of Rod dumping on them for not being at the Bombers Montreal game on Thanksgiving weekend. Are you guys ever going to get over this stuff? You're like Calgary over there. You got to get over stuff, people. It eats you on the inside.
And
you won the Grey Cup. Move on.
I want to quote Ken Miller on this. Good is the opposite of great.
Great.
Oh.
So yes, the Bombers do have good fan base in rural Winnipeg.
Manitoba.
I didn't know that, Kenny said.
No.
I didn't know that one.
Rural Winnipeg.
No, rural Manitoba.
You want a great
Ryderville. Yeah, and 50 he said, 50% of the fans in Brandon are Ryder fans. Or that's horrible.
75% of Brandon are Ryder fans.
Go to Toronto and tell me 50% of the fans there are Leaf fans. Go to
Habs fans.
Go outside of this stadium here and say 50% of the fans here are Ryder fans. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Is that what you're going for? 50% is good? All right, then 50% is good.
Tom, listen, stop.
Hey, can't
very Winnipeg-y.
Fault the guy for sticking up for his team.
Absolutely.
But he's not sticking up for his team.
But that's what makes the show great, is that we can we're having a back and forth. Colin's kind of trying to poo-poo on things too. But no, the Ottawa Renegades did no marketing. That's why they're not around. They had no French presence at all. I went over there to work every day. They're like, what's a Renegade?
You worked at Pigalle's?
Only in the off hours. That's the only club that I've ever been kicked into.
Pigalle's?
For having too many beverages. Oh, the cops are coming. Quick, get inside.
Here.
Oh, okay.
It's a fine establishment.
Good times. I hope my kids aren't listening.
I don't think I've been there.
While we have a moment, and it is a variety show. This is the sports equivalent of a variety show.
Just needs a gong.
Will this do?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the Oilers for a minute? And Jason Greger's coming on here. Jason Greger's coming on here on Thursday from TSN Radio Edmonton to talk about the Oilers. And this has got everybody going on the CFL marketing, so I'll jump back to that for a second. But I said I went to a house party Saturday night, a night after the Oilers got pumped by the Flames 5-1. It was embarrassing. Guy there said every time the Oilers lose, it's like a death in the family. We commiserated, and I love the fact that the Oilers fans had just welcomed me back in. I did had to pass a skill testing question on Oilers history, which I knew, so
what was
I passed it?
What was it?
Oh,
let me see if I
what's
get
the number of Curry? What was Curry?
17.
Being a Leaf fan,
that's not even a question.
In the '80s, you learned a lot about. I mean, you were done watching your Leafs by what, March, and then you had to pick another team.
Well, the Oilers
but furthermore,
are not in a
I did
spot.
Say to a guy that owns a roofing company, a big roofing company, he was there, Ryan. I said, "What's wrong with the Oilers?" And he goes, "I don't know." Attitude. And then he went off. Right? I'm like, yeah, it's in the heart. It's between the ears, but mostly in the heart. And they're not blaming Dave Tippett or Ken Holland. It's a culture problem in Edmonton that has predated Ralph Kruger and Todd McLellan and Ken Hitchcock and Tom Rennie and all these guys that have paraded guys that have been through there. There's something wrong. And you are a dyed-in-the-wool Oilers fan, Abu.
I mean,
we're not talking about your Leafs, Abu.
No.
But Derek, what's wrong with the Oilers?
They do not have the depth that you need in this. I mean, so they make some moves the other day. They sent Granlund
I think they are
down,
good enough.
And Kyler Yamamoto comes up. Like, this is not going to solve the problem, folks. I mean, quite honestly, I'd just be grinding McDavid and Draisaitl 30 minutes a game, minimum. Like, just play them. I mean, they're young. You only have this window. These guys are only going to put up with this for so long, and finally somebody's going to go trade me. You got to get this going. But I'm watching the other night, and not to bang on a guy, but, I mean, Darnell Nurse and Ethan Bear, those are, you know, it's supposed to be one of your top D pairings, and I mean they look lost out there. They're not picking up guys. They're not shoulder checking. And I'm sitting here as a guy who hasn't even put skates on in a couple of years, going, that's a fundamental. Like, where are their heads at? And you're right. It just seems like sometimes the focus. Here's what the guy I first coached with, Brian Ismister, taught me. Focus. He wrote it up on the board for the 15-year-old kids. FOCUS. Depending on how you pronounce this word, it can be focus or
fuck screw it. Us.
Yeah. You get to decide. And sometimes I think that that should be what is written on the whiteboard. Focus. Take a look over your shoulder, Ethan Barron. I hate to pick on the young Saskatchewan guy, but I mean, I think it was the second Flames goal. He just didn't, just fundamentally didn't pick up his guy. Got caught watching the puck. Well, that happens at Pee Wee hockey or U15 or whatever we're calling these now. That shouldn't happen there.
I'm glad that I asked because you're 100% right. And here's the thing. 11 seconds into the game.
That's focus.
It's it was over 11 seconds into the game and they weren't focused. They weren't ready to go. And I can't blame the coach right now. This is, like I said, it's predated all the coaches that they've had. And that's why I said, I appreciate now buying the tickets, going to the games, traveling out of province a long ways to go to the games. Cause I see why fans are pissed off. And that's why the players need to interact with fans at community events and realize how much this means to people. But you know what? The teams are getting way and way and way away from that. You guys are getting worse and worse.
So it reminded me of an article I was reading about succession planning, and it was about farming. I don't like talking about farming because I don't know a lot about it. But let's talk about businesses or something. There's a culture in sports, in business, where the dad, the Wayne Gretzky, develops this culture that's so great, not good, it's great, that everyone up here knows how hard you have to work to be great. And how hard they work to be great and to run the farm and, you know, work and work. And then the next generation, let's call them hockey players, and because I don't know about farming, come and just see, oh, this is the way it is. You know, coming into the Edmonton organization in the late 80s, early 90s, you just, oh, we're always going to win. I really can, you know, maybe I can put my foot up. Maybe I don't have to sleep on the cot tonight. Maybe I don't, you know, Sather and Messier and Gretzky, and I don't know the head office guys there at that time, but they slept on the couch. They wore the nice suits, and you see them all rich now, but they were sleeping and putting in the work. And when you're great, maybe the lesson isn't, because I go through this with my kids, because I know how hard I work, and they just see me not working.
Yep.
And that's where the intergeneration, that's why I was reading the article, is that you got to keep showing them. Show these kids how, don't just show up and say, like, all right, good, we're good, go out there. You have to show these kids, athletes, whoever, how to work hard, because a lot of them, they don't get to see us working. They don't get to see the dad. They don't get to see the Glenn Sathers sleeping on the couch.
Right.
They just get to see what's on TV.
One time my daughter said to me, Dad, all you do is drink coffee and read the paper.
That means you're doing
it
right.
And I had it was like my dad snapped, eyes rolled in the back of my head. And I'm like, I finished my work before you're up so we can spend this time together. But they don't see it. It's exactly what you're saying.
But that's, yeah, and that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Not sure what I'm supposed to tell
pause
my kids.
Pause for a second as we actually have it. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah,
we're going out on
I just
video,
woke up, Dad.
Video chat right now. Ricky Collins Jr. joins us. Number three of the Edmonton Eskimos. I can only assume from Texas this morning. Am I right? Ricky, where are you at today?
Yes, sir. I'm in Mesquite, Texas right now.
Ah, I envy you. How are things in Mesquite, Texas at this Christmas time of year? How's the holiday season been for you and everybody down there?
Man, it's been good. You know, the family had a good holiday, so everything was good.
That's good. Wait, we had a question, Ricky, about your contract status here. Hopefully you can fill us in. And that is, you know, what is your status for 2020? Are you pending free agent or are you locked down with the Eskimos?
No, I'm locked in with the Eskimos for next year, man.
All right. So let's talk about let's go back and then we'll look forward the 2019 season with the Edmonton Eskimos. And you finished fourth, you crossed over, had the big win in Montreal. What was the season like for you as an Edmonton Eskimo and that team?
For me personally, started out the season, everything was going good. Throughout the season, you know, for me personally, I had trials for myself, trials and tribulations throughout the season. But as a whole, as a team, you know, we had a lot of adversity we had to fight through, you know, just to make it to the playoffs, you know, losing our quarterback, you know, we lost Trev for six games. So when you lose a quarterback of his stature, his nature, you know, it takes a toll on the team. And you just have to try to do whatever you can to make adjustments.
So a coaching change was made. Where were you when you learned that Jason Maz was fired as head coach of the Eskimos? How did you find out the news?
I had got a call from one of my fellow receivers. You know, I was in Tyler, Texas at my parents' house when I had found out that we had relieved Moss of his duties of head coach.
What is that like when, well, I know what it's like, so I'm just going to ask you your thoughts. The players kind of feel an onus, right, that they let a guy down. I know how popular Jason was with you guys. Don Unamba came on here about a month ago, said that you guys loved him. Did the players feel a little onus and almost guilty when the coach loses his job when it's a guy you like that?
Definitely, man. You know, Don, he told the truth. All the players like Moss, man. He's one of those coaches that players really want to play for. You know, it's sad when you have to see a coach go the way he did. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a business. So we can't dwell on what happened. We just have to move.
So what do you know about Scott Milanovich coming back in 2020 here, your new head coach?
Yes. I know from what Trev told me, he's a good guy. You know, he's rough around the edges, can be sometimes. But, I mean, if you don't like a coach that's rough around the edges a little bit, you're playing the wrong sport.
So how are you looking at 2020, Ricky? I mean, ever since you've left Saskatchewan, as far as I'm concerned, your career's gone like this. You haven't had the drops. I mean, you're coming off your best season as a pro. Are you not in Edmonton? I would think you just keep getting better every year.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to attack this season totally different. You know, the way I attacked this offseason, it was me continuing to stay more focused. This year, I'm just going to put myself into overdrive and just make sure I capitalize on every opportunity I get.
Well, our producer, Clark, who you've been dealing with here, just put up, you know, this monster season, some of your stats. What do you attribute that to? You just said focus, but what specifically have you done that led to that breakout season in Edmonton?
Man, it was really just me focusing more and, like, really real life, buying into the offense, the system and everything. Just being a complete pro, you know. In some of my other stops, I wasn't a complete pro. Like, when I was in Saskatchewan, I wasn't a total complete pro. I was still learning the game. And then in BC, you know, I had got released by Hamilton and then got to BC. I was kind of trying to get my foot back in the door, trying to get the feel for the game again. But now I feel like I made that leap that I need to make to be a complete pro in the CFL.
Yeah, and sometimes when you do these interviews, you got to say things about things and stuff like that. But when Rod asked you what you thought about Milanovich, this look on your face was like, we're going to have a couple parties in the end zone this year. Like, your face said it all. Like, yeah, okay, I can deal with that guy. I know where he comes from, and I know what he does for quarterbacks and receivers. So good on you. But man, it's not even New Year's Eve yet, so I can't even ask you about anything. We're just about as far from the last season as the next season. So maybe give us a rundown of what your workout looks like. You wake up in the morning, you go to the track, you go to the gym. What does that look like in an off season to become a top receiver in the CFL?
Man, so this past off season, my regimen was wake up at 6, eat breakfast, take the kids to school. And then as soon as I drop the kids off at school, go to my gym, work out from, I want to say it's like 7. I work out from 7 to 8:30. And then go from 8:30, go to the house, take a quick shower, rest, go back to the gym, you know, just like do like some stretches and stuff, get the body loose again. And then just be a full-time dad after that.
Well, Ricky, what is your take, lastly, on the CFL West? It's like an arms race as far as, and it always is. I mean, you spent your whole career out here in the West Division. What do you see coming back for 2020? Or is it too early, as Abu said, because we haven't even hit free agency yet?
I mean, you could say it's too early, but at the end of the day, the West is the hardest, you know, the hardest part of the CFL. You know, it's real life. Everybody has juggernauts. Every team can beat anybody. It's whoever is making the best push towards the end of the season, that's who you have to roll with. You know, it's any given Sunday in the West. You know, it's just one of those divisions where it's like, man, everybody is good, you know. So you have to come with your best ball every game.
Well, Ricky, I appreciate the time, and I will say Happy New Year to you and all the best in 2020. We'll be seeing you soon. I appreciate you coming on today.
No problem. Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. You still there? Derek brought up,
yes,
you tattooed guys all stick together. Abu, you don't have a tattoo, do you?
No.
Neither do I. But Derek, you do.
Yeah, I got.
And you want to talk to Ricky about his ink.
No, I just wondered what when you go in, because you do have a lot of tattoos, but when you go in, when you get new artwork done, is it something close to you? Is it family? Is it experiences? Kind of what's the motivation behind some of your tattoos?
I would say the most part of my tattoos are family, about my family. Then it goes from family to things that I had to deal with throughout my life, you know, like where I come from in Tyler, Texas, like the things that I had to do, some stuff like that, like my aunts, my aunties, my grandpa and stuff like that. You know, my tattoos tell a story, you know, it's just like I picture myself as a walking mirror.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. All right, Ricky, again, I'll say it again. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time. Appreciate the explanation, and we'll see you down the road.
Same to you. Thank you.
Ricky Collins Jr., good guy from the Edmonton Eskimos.
You're right. His career has, he showed flashes in Saskatchewan, but he's really developed into, you know, an explosive guy in Edmonton. His career has been on a rising arc.
Well, he's actually in the prime of his career. Your late 20s, really. Yeah. You're figuring it out in your early to mid 20s. Yeah. You're at the top of your game in your late 20s, and then in your 30s, you're just hanging on.
Where are we now? Where are we now in our game?
You're just hanging on. But here's the one thing, guys. Was it 2016 or 2017? I want to say 2016. When I really realized, and I believe you guys can discount this if you do, if you want, but that the team's already picked even before the preseason games are played. I believe that. Because I remember Ricky Collins fumbling two punt returns in a preseason game here. And you said yourself, Abu, fumbling in a preseason game is like going into a job interview and taking a leak on the carpet in the corner of the guy's office. Yeah, the absolute
hell of a metaphor.
Worst thing you can do.
You can still get the job, though.
Can you?
You still get that job. Oh, yeah, you better knock it out of the park, though.
Boy.
Yeah, you better have your tables and T's crossed.
I just remember talking to Rider personnel people after that game and saying, oh, he is obviously, Collins is gone. He fumbled twice. They're like, oh, no, we got a spot for Ricky. Ricky's made the team. And I'm like, well, what would he have had to do to get cut then? They already knew that he was going to make the team. And they knew what they had in him. But he was victimized by the drops early in his career, as was Chris Getzlaff. You know what?
And Bowman.
And when and Bowman, too. Mm-hmm. And when those guys turned their career around, what did they attribute it to?
Yeah.
Focus and the mental part of the game.
Who was it that like Getzlaff said that he had him change his eye line when the ball was coming to him? I can't remember if it was Ken Miller or if it was a Chapdelaine or it was somebody like that, how he really attributed just changing his eye line. I remember him saying that once, because he did. It was like overnight, all of a sudden he became the stickiest hands in the CFL, basically.
Good gets you a tryout. Great keeps you on the roster. Yep. Changing your working at it makes you great.
Yeah, yeah. He like literally...
anyone's going to be good.
Worked and changed. And I can't remember. That's a long time ago.
But I don't know how you get that.
That was a different guy. But yeah, it was really interesting. And you're right, Getzlaff did go from, and he became the guy, you know, that was like one of the most reliable guys out there. He's like Naaman Roosevelt now. Like, when does Naaman Roosevelt, it's almost a shock when the ball's within 10 yards of him that it actually hits the turf.
Yep. We will take a break. One more from Tom in Winnipeg, who's just not letting it die on the Bombers fan base outside Winnipeg.
He's proving Abu's point, though.
He's proving Abu's. Yeah, he's working on the same side as Abu.
Him?
Tom says, like, we just tweeted a friend who's a Brandonite. She tells me it's 60-40 Rider fans in the Wheat City.
Yeah.
I know CKLQ Radio in Brandon has run polls, and the results have told them habitually that 75% of their listeners in Brandon are Rider fans.
That's that's pretty good.
And that's on
it's not good.
The Bombers that's pretty the case. Good. And Abu said the best line earlier, he's done more community appearances in Brandon as a Rider than he ever did as a Blue Bomber. So maybe Winnipeg should listen to Abu's marketing ideas for turning that W upside down. We'll be back in a moment. DuPont joining us later on in the overtime segment. Maybe next we'll talk about Chris Streveler in the NFL. Okay.
NFL refs?
Some of these other topics. NFL refs? Sure, whatever. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. One more segment with Mike Abumeshrick and Derek Myers, then Dukes will join us for the OT segment. My buddy Chop is watching from the Rams alumni. I got to hold this up for Chop. Can you get a shot over here? Thanks for that, guys. Rams alumni, there you go. Gift from the Rams. Chop says, loving that I'm able to view in the morning in its entirety. Clearly, he's off over the Christmas holidays. Any football questions that you've got for these guys, fire them our way on the hardcore football talk. Where did the Dinos helmet go?
Yeah, I was just going to say, get that UFC crap
I was
out of here.
In Edmonton on the weekend, and I got to, again, start writing down everybody that I talked to. I used to do that, and I got away from it. But somebody said to me, why do you have a Dinos helmet on your desk? I said, because they're the first team to give us something.
Yeah, they sent us one.
Why they not? Watch every day. The national champion. University of Calgary Dinos sent us the gift. Thanks, dude. Just run it in, or you can hand it down the line here. He doesn't want to. Abu, what did Western do? And by the way, what have they ever given
Don
us?
Don Blair was 28 years old. He scored 4 touchdowns in the 1995 Vanier Cup at 28 years old. 28 years old. Donnie playing Blair. Against 22-year-olds and 17-year-olds. What did they do?
Point?
Sorry, I'm just answering your question.
One of my show sponsors said, we're getting too much stuff on the front of the desk.
That is not possible.
And they said, they can't see me. I said, I think that's a good thing.
It's starting to look like a bunker for real.
It really is, isn't it?
Next thing you know, you'll have that army hat on.
They're the champs. You should have them up there. You know, they earned the right, whether I like it or not, they earned the right to be up there.
The Dinos? Well, of course they did. So and not the least of which is they were the first team to offer up a gift. What are these helmets worth, by the way? I have no idea. It's got to be a couple $100.
My only question
bucks,
is,
$500.
When does the autographed Bo Levi Mitchell jersey show up in the bunker here?
Did you want to go down that road, Bo Levi?
No, it's tired. That's an old story.
It kind of is an old story, but it's kind of a year-end 3downnation.com. Bo Levi doesn't want to come on this show.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because his feelings are hurt. Say it out loud, Bo. Say it out loud in your own head. Your feelings are hurt. This is supposed to be pro football.
I feel like the two of you are like the competing managers at a WWF WrestleMania. Like Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart, and they're just going at it. And this is
but here's the problem.
Pure three-ring circus.
His feelings get hurt. Mine don't. To me, this is a game. I think he's legitimately, his feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
You can't hurt mine,
no.
Believe me. But I, again, my wife gets over things faster than Bo Levi Mitchell and the Calgary Stampeders.
Ooh, maybe not that statement, though.
Oof.
What, her? She gets it. Well, this came up yesterday when we were coming home from Edmonton. The Bo Levi thing hit social media, and she's like, here we go, all day. It's fun. I don't think it's fun for Bo. It's fun for me. And I just wanted him on this show because I thought he might actually want some listeners for a change. To the actual football. What are you looking at me like that for?
I just wonder if she would prefer if you were just like, you know, working at the gas station or just took a, you know, just a regular Joe job.
No.
I think she likes...
I think
a little
she,
bit of the conflict
she
too.
Likes it.
Yeah,
she likes it. She it's fun. To. Clark Gordon writes in and says, when you say it that way, it's so much funnier. Yeah. What's so much funnier? I don't understand. Here's the thing about Calgary and why I love going to Edmonton, by the way. They hate Calgary too.
Stampeders so blocked me on Twitter.
The Stamps blocked you. But that's the thing. What is wrong with Calgary that you get your feelings hurt? So it says so much more about you than it does us.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I get it all the time. Well, you're not very well liked in Calgary. Well, it's mutual, so who cares?
Nick Lewis is a friend of the show now.
Nick's fine.
Well, I think it's like broadcasting is kind of like wrestling, you know?
Very much.
I hated the Macho Man. That's why I had Randy really? Savage. That's why I had posters.
But we loved Elizabeth.
No, I love the Macho Man. But he was the biggest heel, right? So you always love those guys.
Brutus the Barber.
You come up, booze are just the same as cheers. You know, shows they care.
They care.
Here's a question. As a pro athlete, do the booze, are they more gratifying sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. They're the same as the cheers, you know?
Like Wally at some point, and I don't know, Rod.
Wally.
He has to really, really think back and go, my God, that was fantastic.
He already has.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know you guys have sat down, and he was one of the early guys on this show. But I mean, yeah, at some point, being the guy, like John Cornish has to sit back and go, yeah, that was kind of fun.
Oh, the greatest, greatest fan interaction I had was I went back to Winnipeg after we won the Grey Cup.
Hey.
And I'd spent 5 years in Winnipeg and 5 months here.
What were you doing in Winnipeg with the Grey Cup?
I was wrestling Brett McNeil at an MMA. We were the halftime show. We were doing.
You're serious.
Me and Brett McNeil were doing like a WWE type skit, and so I got introduced with "Green is the color," and then I got to do some mic work. Actually, this mic work got me a couple of people started asking questions about. But anyways. And I just got to go to the Ravishing Richard and just put down Winnipeg about how I spent so long there to get a championship, and then I go and get one there in 5 months. And
is this on video anywhere?
It's on YouTube. I can't find it. Abu something, Mabu 67. So, and then I say, the best looking woman in best looking girl in Regina is that ring announcer, and it was a dude, and he got so mad at me because it was just so. And the whole
you
place
were born
was,
for this. Stuff.
It was yeah. They were. Tell you the story of the little girl that gave me the finger at that, and going back to Winnipeg and just bad mouthing them, being rained booze and being thrown things at. That was it. Was
well,
awesome.
Alan Lai writes and he says Corey Sheets versus John Cornish was awesome. It was awesome. Do you remember that when Sheets says we're going to come in here and kick their ass in the West Final, and they did.
Yeah, they did.
Like I remember when the Flames. I was thinking about this on the weekend when the Flames bought the Stampeders. I remember saying at the time, the Stampeders are happy because they're tired of the Riders owning them.
Oh.
And then everybody gets mad. I don't know why you can't get over this stuff.
But you say you're proudly a homer. That's what it's supposed to be, right?
That's why I was doing my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I'll let you guys roll. Any last comments? Happy holidays.
It has been a wonderful 2019. I look forward to 2020 on the show, buddy.
Thanks for being a part of it. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having us. I keep waiting for Clark not to call.
Are you, Abu?
Oh, great times. Life is great. Perfect time.
Good. Good to hear. Dubes joins us next for OT. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. 2018 F-150 XLT 4x4s are starting at just $29,999 plus tax. Plus, our entire inventory of used trucks is on sale. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and more. It's the most wonderful time of year at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store. Capital Ford Pre-Owned in Regina.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show overtime segment. It does seem a little crowded up here. We need a hockey helmet. Ooh. Up here, Darren, don't you think?
I think so. A big goalie helmet.
Would be the a goalie mask would be
that
great.
That would be really great.
Maybe we'd get one at Walmart.
It's got to be one. Painted, though. Yeah, Team Canada one would be awesome.
Oh, it wouldn't be blank.
That'd be cool. That'd
no,
be really cool.
Our own Rod Peterson Show goalie mask. Ooh. Fiberglass goalie mask.
Who's in town that paints?
Auto body shops do that.
There you go.
Getting tingles. The overtime segment is brought to you by Emerald Water, the OT refresher. And taking a look at sports on tap tonight, you wouldn't know it was a Monday in the WHL. Must be Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
Holiday season because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in the dub tonight, including the Pats at Brandon. I would love to be at that game. The problem is the drive.
Yeah, it's not kind. It's too bad.
To listen to Phil the Thrill, that'll be great.
Yep.
The Winnipeg Ice are at Prince Albert tonight. Lethbridge is at Swift Current. Edmonton into Calgary. Sammy Cosentino will have the call to that one on Rogers Sportsnet. He was with us earlier today talking World Juniors and dub. Out west, Victoria at Kamloops and PG at Kelowna. In the SJ tonight, there's a pair, Yorkton at Melville. And perhaps the league's top rivalry, Estevan at Weyburn tonight at the Crescent Point Place, 7:30 in Weyburn. And just one game of the National Hockey League, if you can believe. Ottawa is at Pittsburgh. Hard to believe that is a rematch of the Eastern Conference Final from, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. That's
very hard to believe.
Isn't it?
But that's sports on tap for the tap. Brew Pub and Eatery, Regina's only drive-through beer and liquor store. Brady chiming in from Saskatoon. He's on Christmas holidays, don't you know? He's a grade 12 student.
Yep.
So he's able to watch. Hey, Rod, happy holidays. The refs missed a blatant, crucial defensive pass interference on the 49ers in the dying seconds of Sunday Night Football. I'd rather talk less about that and more about John Tortorella losing his marbles last night. Although yeah. It wasn't as bad as I think people are pointing it out to be. I saw the Elliot Friedman tweet, wow. He retweeted the clip of Tortorella going off in the news conference, post-game news conference last night. When are we going to get over this?
I'm
officiating.
I'm a John Tortorella fan.
I'm not.
I don't agree with everything that he does. But I think he's one of the guys, from what I can tell, and again, I don't know because I haven't been in the locker room. I haven't been around him. I don't know him. But I think he's one of the guys who's tough. Hard, you don't like him, but I don't think he's a guy who's crossed any lines in terms of the Me Too movement that we talk about with coaches. So it's kind of refreshing to see a guy who can still do that, still be himself, but do it in the right way. But yeah, when he went off, man, they lost the game in a shootout. The goalie got hit at the end in the shootout too. And he thought, you know, if they would have scaled that clock back, he would have, they would have won the game that extra second and a tenth, and wouldn't have lost his goaltender. So he was pretty fired up.
How could you get mad at him or even discipline him when he's right? Here's the part I didn't get. So they're draining time off the clock in the last minute, and I'm like, oh, is this like being in swift current? Were they the road team? It happens all the time. It was in your own rink?
Yeah.
Well, clearly this was a mistake. And I did watch the clip. He said, with all the technology we have, you can't get this right?
Right.
How could you discipline him for that? I saw Darren Dreger tweeting that he'll be getting a call from the league office. Well, for what? At some point, the league office has to look in the mirror and go, we were wrong. And sometimes they do. I would hope in this case, this is one of those cases.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be.
You can't discipline him for being right. No. This is not a judgment call.
It's not. He was absolutely right. And he explained the explanation he got. And then he does the smart thing. He goes on his rant and then he says, I'm not taking any questions. And he walks off because he knows it's going to get worse and worse when they start prodding him and poking him. He knows something really bad's going to come out. But
Colin McNulty, I hope I'm saying that right. He says, we in Ottawa can't believe it either, Rod, that the Sens were in the Eastern Conference Final just three short seasons ago. Colin, if you're in Ottawa, tell all your friends about this show. Share it with all your friends. Share it now.
Yeah.
It's a national show. Can't hurt.
And keep going.
Gregory Lai writes in. He says, do you guys remember Torts trying to get into the Calgary locker room a couple of years ago? Do I remember it? I had a bunch of friends that were right in the middle of it. They put a gate up between those dressing rooms now because of John Tortorella. I think he kicked a hole in the wall at Rogers Arena, which is still there, to remind people of the incident. So if you don't mind John Tortorella, that's fine. I feel differently. I've never really met him. I've been around him. But I did that dinner in Arcola with Matthew Barnaby and Andre Waugh. And suffice it to say, they aren't fans. But I shouldn't speak for them. Maybe we'll bring them on to talk about Tor. They're not fans.
No, I can imagine.
They both played for him in Tampa Bay.
He's one of those coaches, again, that old school style. It's good for a short time, not a long time. So when you
look where he's been,
You know what I mean? But he's had success along the way. That stress can help bring a team and get them over the hump, but it's not something you want to live with day in and day out. I understand that.
Again, why Wally Buono with John Huffnagel, they're such rarities to be able to stay in one place for so long. And I've kind of picked Wally's brain on that, but he doesn't really want to get into why he's been successful. It's his secret.
Yeah.
Right? I get it. But hey, you don't know what KFC's secret 11 herbs and spices are.
Nope.
Wally ain't giving up
his
either.
He's not giving up his either. He'll take it to the grave.
What business do you have before we roll?
What business do I have? We got lots of exciting things for the new year. As you can see, that calendar's starting to fill up as you start to strategic plan, New Year's resolution, so to speak. And the store's up. There's some those new items in the store. So they are draining.
All kinds of Under Armour Rod Peterson Show merchandise. Yep. Golf shirts,
Under
T-shirts,
Armour golf shirts,
bunny hugs.
And we got T-shirts. We got bunny hugs. But the quantities are limited now. After the holidays, too, we got extremely limited quantities. So get in there. We will reorder, and we will bring in new stuff in the new year as well. So rodpetersonshop.com.
I like it. And then tomorrow will be our New Year's countdown show.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell people about that.
That's going to be fun. So tomorrow we'll be back here on the air 10 till noon. We're going to count down the best moments from the past year of the Rod Peterson Show and all the topics we've covered, all the great things that have happened. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the guys were cutting some clips, getting it ready. It's pretty funny. There's some great moments that we look back to, so we're going to have some fun.
What is super cool is I don't even know what the top moments are. I mean, I was actually here for them, but I don't know what the top 10 are.
Yeah.
And I guess over the next 24 hours, maybe we should have people tweet in and write us and say what their top moments are.
Yeah, if you remember some great moments.
Would be cool.
Absolutely. As we did in the 100th episode, some moments from that will pop back up for sure. Back to the beginning, when the desk was empty, it seems like another world.
Another time.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
The land before time, right here.
You can see how much the show's evolved, which is pretty cool.
So New Year's Eve is our countdown show tomorrow. New Year's Day, there will be no show, but you can certainly go back and watch the archives, which is what people do. Yeah. That's why the viewership's gone so high. And then Thursday, Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, Jared Dumba, 10-year hockey pro, Jason Greger from TSN 1260 Edmonton Radio to talk some Oilers and Eskimos, Zach Medeiros, the Argos kicker. He's not just going to talk CFL. He's got some thoughts on the Leafs, too. On Friday, Delvin Bro, Hamilton Tiger Cats corner. Ben Calhoun. Did you know we got Ben Calhoun?
That's cool.
And Jermaine Robinson. You got to thank Clark for all of this, producer Clark. Oh, and as we wrap up the show, Clark was part of the Bo Levi stuff over the last 24 hours, too, where Bo Levi said that I specifically had asked multiple times to get him on the show. Did you see Clark's Facebook comment? He's like, multiple times? Clark asked one time. All these guys, all these guests, it's all Clark. It's not me, except for Greger, because I wanted Greger on to talk Oilers. But you know yourself, because you're part of it. It's all Clark.
Oh, yeah. He's doing all the heavy lifting around here.
So he asked Bo Levi one time, and Bo said no. And I'm like, okay, we're done. And then I had a friend with the Stamps said, oh, I'm going to go ask Bo to go on your show. I said, please don't. It's not that big of a deal. But I think the guy went and asked Bo, too. So that would count for multiple.
Yeah. It sounds it's like 7, 8, 9 dozen times.
2 times. And in neither case was it me. That's the funny part of the whole thing.
That is the funny part.
Anyways, Bo, I hope you can get over it and have a great Happy New Year's. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.